Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
We come together on Sunday so that we can leave knowing that we have encountered Him. That is what it's about. Church is God's idea. Amen. It's not mine. The Pastor Dave's. It's God's idea. And so it centers on Him. And so when we come together, hey, we want to encounter Jesus. Again, so thanks for the invitation, your hospitality. You made us feel right at home this morning. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really count it an honor and a privilege just to be here. And just for the opportunity to share a message with you this morning. Can I say meeting Pastor Dave, and that was probably about, a year ago, last year sometime, and Pastor Levi too. We had a chat, and you know, the one thing that struck me about Pastor Dave is he's, like he said, probably mine too, and I think it's why we sort of just connected, is his heart for God's people. Come on, heart to see people thrive in their faith, thrive in living for Jesus in a way that is sustainable, in a way that is consistent, in a way that'll see you finish the race. You know, and so it's more than just, sometimes we fall into the trap of coming to church and doing church on a Sunday. Pastor Dave's and mine too is, church is 24/7, 365. It's where you and I find ourselves amongst our friends, amongst our colleagues. It doesn't matter where we are. That's where the church is. But and so, man, I want to tell you, if nobody said it before, and some people probably have already, you have the best of the best right here. Come on. You have the best of the best right here. And I'll say this, if somebody hasn't said it, you probably heard this before. Hey, but come behind them. Hey, come behind them. Stand behind them. Rally around them. Hold up their arms. Pray for them. Come on, pray for them. No one's perfect. I certainly am not. Just ask my wife. She knows. I am perfect, man. But that's no reason for people to point fingers. Hey, let's pray for one another. Come on, let's pray for those in authority. Let's pray for those who God placed above us. Amen. Okay, so thank you again, guys. Really appreciate it this morning. Really appreciate it. So, I guess for those who don't know me, as Pastor Dave said, my name is Jonathan. Jono for short. As you can hear from the accent, I'm South African. And in Australia, they shorten every name. Jonathan's too long. Jono it is. And so I've that's sort of grown on me. So Jono is what people call me. And together with my wife, Valencia, we are the senior pastors of Life Point Church, of which we have two locations, one in Point Cook and one in Geelong. And so in addition to leading Life Point Church, which we've done for the past 2 years, recently I've also stepped into the opportunity and just to lead our region, our city, West-South region, which is, probably over 20 odd churches together that we just have this amazing opportunity. Pastor Dave and myself is part of the team. And so amazing opportunity just to serve our region, to serve our pastors, to serve our churches. I love the idea of having a view of the body of Christ that is more than just our own congregations. I love Life on Church. I mean, I bleed Life on Church, but hey, more than that, I bleed the body of Christ. Come on. Right, and so it's about the church, it's about all of us together. And it's as we come together in unity that God's able to do amazing things. Up on the screen, if you have a look, there's a slide of my family. For those, some of you saw us this morning, there's the four of us somewhere in. If it's not, I'll talk through who we are. So Helencia, my wife, we have two sons, Jared and Jordan. Jordan is our youngest. He's 14 years old. And Jared is 16. He turned 16 2 days ago, Friday. So he's about to get the L's and get the license. And we started praying on our knees before God, myself and Alencia, because he's going to start driving. And we're tossing up who's going to do the driving lessons. So we need to pray for patience there. So pray for us, please. Pray for us. And so that's our tribe. That's the grief tribe. And I guess my journey has been one of I think I've sensed God's call on my life fairly early on. And sort of grown up in that and been involved in church. But I actually made a decision for Jesus when I turned 16. And that journey's led me on serving as a youth leader, serving in worship, being a small group leader, et cetera, et cetera. And what I've seen about the call of God is that it sort of transforms as you continue to journey on. Right? And so it was me, and I pursued God for all that He had for me. And then I met Helencia. And as I met her and we became engaged and we got married, then I felt, man, this call is changing just a little bit because it's no longer just about me. Come on, God's calling us. Right? And so Paul talks about it. He says, hey husbands, you got to love your wives like Christ did the church. And sometimes we romanticize that idea, but loving like Christ does is not an easy thing. All right, He laid down His life. And so I got to understand what it is that the passions that Helencia has for God and how I can come alongside her and just support her in being all that God's called her to be. And she's got to submit to me as a husband. And husbands, don't we love that verse sometimes? Just be quiet. You need to submit to me. No, that's not what the Bible says. Right? It's loving. And it's because of the love that I have for her that she then reciprocates with submission. Amen? And so we had to figure out what is God saying for us? Because we had different church backgrounds and I was probably a little bit more ahead. And so I would rush ahead wanting to serve God. And God said, you need to slow down, buddy. Because I'm just calling you. I'm calling both of you. And so there's a unity. You got to come together and pursue me. And so we figure that out. And as we just about figure that out, guess what? Two boys are born to us. God bless us with two boys. And again, that call just morphed into something that we had to adjust and change. And we had to figure out, what is God calling them to do? I remember when they were born, I had them both in my arms. When they were born, we have pictures up on the wall at home where they are little, probably about a couple of hours old, and they're in my arms. And as I had them in my arms, I just prayed and trusted God for a word, man. And I just prophetically spoke over them and said, I sense God, you're saying this, and I'm speaking this over my son. And God is faithful. Come on, that song we sang this morning, When I Open Up My Mouth. Come on, right? And so we got to trust that as the Spirit leads us to speak not only, obviously, over the life of my boys, but certainly into situations, into circumstances, declare the Word of God. Because it will never return void, folks. While we speak, we'll be established because it's the Word of God. And so I spoke over the boys, and God has been faithful in just seeing them grow into what I spoke, what God unctioned through me to speak. But we had to figure out as a tribe, what is God calling us to? And so it's us pursuing God, the grief tribe. And so this morning, if you're taking notes, the title of my message is My Tribe, His Purpose. Wow. Right, and given it was Pentecost Sunday last week and we're in the afterglow of Pentecost, I want us to take a look at an outpouring of the Spirit of God in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament. And in particular, we look at how God empowered this individual. And I'm trusting that He'll speak to us powerfully as we just take a look at this outpouring. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord. First and foremost, Holy Spirit, thank You for Your presence here this morning. And so we want to acknowledge You. And as we've worshipped and we were transformed in worship, Lord, I pray, God, that we will be transformed as we just take a look at Your Word. Holy Spirit, would You speak powerfully to us? Would You anoint every word? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So in your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 31. And we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. And so the context to this passage is Moses. He's led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, where they were in bondage for about 430 years. And He's led them out, and now they're in the desert, and Moses has gone up on this mountain, and he's met with God. He had an amazing encounter with God, and God instructs him. God says, I have this desire to be amongst my people. I want my presence to be with my people. I want to have a tent like you have and dwell where my people are at. And so God gives Moses an instruction to build a tent of meeting for God. And so God outlines what this tent will look like. And Moses comes down the mountain. And God tells him this. In Exodus 31, verse 1 to 11, it says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called by name
Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. This is a good mate to have, eh? Jewels, gold, silver. I like this guy. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do so. So Moses is given instruction by God, build this tent. But Moses, I'm going to show you the person that I've appointed, that I've called, that I've gifted, that I've poured my spirit on to build this for you. And so from this passage, the first thing that is obvious, I think, to all of us is if you read verse 2 of that passage, it says that, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So in the first instance, God tells Moses that I have called. God calls. Right? So it says, I have called by name Bezalel. God calls the individual. God says to Jeremiah when he calls him, I've called you from your mother's womb. I call the individual. But what I love about that verse is it goes on to say, I've called by name Bezalel, but then it says, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So not only does God call the individual, but what's the context? Yeah. Wow. Right? Bezalel is connected. He's not a lone ranger. He is part of a community. He's part of a people. Yeah. God calls us from a place of community. But before he calls us from a place of community, I love what Pastor Dave shared this morning. God will first call us into community. Come on, we've all been lost. We've all been a people that's been far away from God, the Bible says. And so from the very first instance, God calls us into community. But we're not meant to just remain in community, sitting, twiddling our thumbs. Now, God actually calls us then from community, from a place of community. From a people, from a local church, from a community of believers. He calls us from a place of community. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We are called from a place of community. We call to God's purpose in and from a place of community. And I love Psalm 92, verse 13, 14. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Everybody say flourish. Flourish. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. When we are in community, hey, my man, I know I'm going a little bit white in the beard, a little bit gray, but this is going to go all gray at one day. I might have a white wool of hair, or I might not have any hair at some point. But what this verse says, even when I get there, watch this, I shall still bear fruit. Come on, I shall be fresh and flourishing. I'll be like Joshua and Caleb at the age of 80 saying, hey man, I'm ready for another battle. I'm ready to plant another campus. I'm ready to plant another church. I'm ready to go and reach somebody else for the gospel. Come on, I'll be fresh. God calls from a place of community. That's right. And so the call of God for you, friend, the purpose that God has for you, and believe me, God has a purpose for every one of us. Paul talks about this when he sort of used this analogy of the body. We're all members of the body of Christ. Man, I remember we were at a national conference up in Gold Coast, and it was close to my birthday. And so Alencia organized that we spend a couple of days in Brizzy. And so we were at this hotel and we got in. And as you do, you got in the room and you scout the room, you check it out. And as I go into the bathroom, I see I see that as you step into the bathroom, the floor is raised just a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, logical, practical guy that I am, I'm thinking if I get up in the middle of the night, this is a new place, I'm going to forget that this floor is raised just a little, and I'm going to be bare feet, and there's a sharp edge as the floor is raised, and I'm thinking to myself, I hope not. I hope I remember that I don't stub my foot against the edge of this, because that'd be painful. Lo and behold, at 2-3 in the morning, I got up on my way to the bathroom. I walk and I forget, and I stub the bottom of my foot. I'm talking about the edge cut into my skin. Dude, I let out a scream. I'm sure that sort of just woke that whole floor. It was an ungodly scream. But what I loved about my body, without thinking, I was hopping on the one foot. Hey, my hands went down, supported this foot that is sore. Right, my brain sort of, all the white cell bodies, where's Adrian, to fight the infection, that all happens in the background that I'm not aware of. The body positioned itself to support the place that is hurting. Come on. Right, and so that's what Paul talks about, that each of us is a function in the body of Christ. He says, when one rejoices, we all do. When one cries, we all cry. Why? Because we're all connected that way. Right? And so God has a purpose and a plan for everyone here this morning, a function to live out in His body, in the church at Newman Melbourne West. And oftentimes we think that purpose is connected to what happens on Sunday, and it is, hey, get involved on Sunday, serve, create a space for people to come in and be ministered to. But I want to tell you, man, that purpose extends to your career. Hey, if you're a mom or a dad, that's God's purpose right there. Hey, if you have friends, that's your purpose right there. Family, ministry, you name it. It's a 24/7, 365 thing. But that call to purpose is outwork. It finds its fulfillment in community. Your destiny and your purpose is inextricably tied, inextricably linked to others, a people tied to God's people, as I said, the local church. That's why I love our movement, Australian Christian Churches. I love it because we emphasize community is important to us. We have this saying at LifePoint that no one stands alone. You might have the same if it's not the same, you certainly are practicing that. No one person, when they come through the doors, you will stand alone visiting. Our movement believes no one church stands alone. No one church stands alone. We come together, we can do more, we can go further, the Bible says. And so God calls first, as we see in this passage. He calls Bezalel from a place of community. He calls you from a place of community. Here's the second thing. It says in verse 3-5 of that passage, it says, And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. It says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And so here we see, so God calls. He calls us from a place of community, but then he empowers. But he empowers. We're not going to do this on our own. He empowers, right? And so God empowers, he provides and imparts in line with his purpose. That's why the title of my message is My Tribe, His Purpose. Not my purpose, his purpose. So God empowers and provides and imparts in line with his purpose to build the tent of meeting in this instance. And the filling of the Spirit manifests and it presents itself. The evidence of the Spirit being poured out on Bezalel is he is given wisdom. He's given ability. He's given understanding. He's given intelligence, knowledge in all kinds of craftsmanship. But even those things are intangible. I can't touch them. You can't see wisdom. You can't see knowledge. You can't see understanding. It's hidden to all of us. But then God says, I've given Bezalel this. So that the evidence, if we look at Bezalel and we were to say, he's anointed of God, the way that we will recognize it is in his what? In his design, in his work, in his cutting, in his carving, to work in all manner of workmanship. See, Bezalel, the anointing empowers him to what? To serve. Know that all the words that I just mentioned, devise, work, cut, carve, work, are do words, are verb words, right? Requires action, requires doing. And I looked at my own life, I thought, when people look at my life and they see the way that I love, the way that I treat, the way that I speak, the way that I behave, I see the Spirit of God at work in my life. That's the evidence that God is at work in and through me. Paul says, faith without works is dead. Or sorry, James says, faith without works is dead. The evidence of God at work in my life is through my works. Jesus, when speaking to his disciples, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's almost like the power here represents the wisdom, the ability, the understanding, the intelligence, the knowledge that God imparts, he gives to us. So to what end, Jesus says, to be my witnesses. I'm calling you to be witnesses, but I will empower you with what you need to be witnesses. And so we are filled with the Spirit of the Lord for service. And so what do you believe God is calling you to do? I think that's a big question, eh? That's a big one. It's a big one. Jared is 16, and last year we had to think about, he's now year 10. I think I got that right. he's year 10, and so last year we had to think about the subjects that he's going to use for VCE, you know, the path he's going to follow. And I had to ask the question, hey, dude, what do you think you're going to become one day? Man, that's a big question, right? And so we sat down and we had a bit of a conversation, and ultimately what it came down to was, I said, hey, dude, what are you passionate about? What are the things that's close to your heart? And you named two things. And then we went, okay, that's a starting point. And then ultimately we ended up with probably a very good idea of what he wants to become based on the passions that God placed in his heart. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. Oftentimes we go like, I don't know what to do, man. I'm not sure what God's calling me to do. Look at what the things are that you are passionate about. Your gifts, your abilities, your talents are given by God. And they're given intentionally because it'll serve your purpose. Right? It's like, yeah, man, I'm not the best admin person, and so I'm not going to attempt to do a logistical. That's not me. Right? And so I got to know, all right, that's not my passion. So I love singing, right? Maybe I get involved in that. But can I say there's no such thing as a gift that is worthless? Don't allow the enemy to lie to you and say, man, what you got ain't worth it. Now, God's been very intentional about creating you. He's been very intentional about your gifts, your abilities, your strengths. Very intentional. And it's a little bit like the boy with the loaves of bread and the fish. All we need to do is take what we have and place it in the hands of Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. That single little thing that's seemingly insignificant will become very significant and instrumental to people that need to know Jesus. Because Zechariah says this, hey, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. Joel says, it shall come to pass that afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. I love the evidence. It's like Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh. And then the evidence is, we need to start declaring. Prophecy happens. Yeah, right. When the Spirit of God pours out, we have this ability to grasp what heaven is doing. The dreams, the visions of what God wants to do in and through us is revealed to us. And we have a responsibility to be obedient, to live out that dream, to live out that vision. Amen? Right. And so God empowers. He fills. But he fills for service. He fills for service. That passage goes on to say in verse 6, and I have appointed, everybody say appointed. Appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you. The word appointed there that is used is in the sense of set in position. To put down, to set up, to set, to ordain, to cause, to occur. It creates this idea of preparations have been made.
God, the Lord, has made preparations for Bezalel. He has set in position people to journey with him. You're not doing this by yourself. Purpose is realized in community. And so think about this. God, when he's called you, you are here because God has called you. But God has prepared a place for you. This is no accident. You are meant to be here. Why? Because God knows the end of a thing from the beginning. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. When God calls you, preparations have been made for you. And there are some people you need to link up with. There's a tribe waiting for you. Melbourne West, Numa, this is your tribe. Hey, but God has people in terms of your individual purpose and plan that's going to come around you. So, hey, get to a life group. Get to a life group. Hey, get to church on Sundays. I notice you guys don't stream. Praise God, you don't. It's a blessing. I think we can reach people far from God, but oftentimes people sort of want to be at home there. But hey, get to church on Sundays. Get to prayer Sunday mornings. I love what I saw this morning. Man, passion. Praying, seeking, praying to the Lord. Why? Because two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. We get more done. Because the purpose that God's calling you to is going to be above what you can achieve. It's the God kind of plan. The God kind of purpose. That is just, it is not within your power to do. And so therefore he brings people around you because you can achieve more for the kingdom of God. It says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. We go further. We go the distance. It says, and again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I struggle with that verse a little. Because I love Pastor Dave, man. I love him as a mate, but I'm not snuggling up behind him to keep warm. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. You're not going to find me snuggling up behind him going, man, I'm cold. Not going to happen, right? It's weird. No. Right, but here's what any survivalist will tell you. If you are lost in the wilderness, there's three things you want to do. You want to stay healthy, you want to stay hydrated, and you want to stay warm. Staying warm will get you through the cold of night, and nights can be cold. Come on, who's had seasons of cold nights in your life? The way you get through them is staying warm, staying in community. Hey man, you guys have had a rough year this year. I would arguably say that you had a night of cold. But you know what? As a movement, as this region, we've been praying for you. Come on, we've been on our knees before God praying for you. Come on, that warmth that's needed, that is what our movement is about. Come on, so that you can come out the other end. The night will not be the end of you. Come on, we stay warm, we stay together, we journey in community. That one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Come on, when we are journeying together, we walk in victory. Didn't you love the testimonies this morning? Come on, faith raised. We share that. It bolsters my faith. I'm going to go back to Life Point Church and I'm going to say, hey man, we need to introduce some testimony mornings. Come on. Come on, because it bolsters faith, right? Yeah, come on. In community, we walk in victory as we see what God is doing amongst ourselves. So God not only calls us from a place of community, but he also appoints us into community. Into what I'm going to call common unity. Because if you think about Pentecost last weekend, they were what? They were all in one accord, in one place. I love Jesus when he prays in John. He prays a couple of prayers in John 17 where he says, hey, he says, I do not pray for these alone. In John 17 verse 20 to 23, he says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the disciples' word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Watch this. That the world may believe that you sent me. In verse 35, Jesus says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. No, it's not because we're parting the Red Sea. No, it's not because you're raising the dead. No, it's not because you're doing wondrous things. It's because we love one another. That's how they'll know. And what is clear to me is that, interesting to me, is the fact that unity, as Jesus prays for it, serves mission. It serves mission. He says, so that the world may believe. I would say biblical unity that Jesus is praying for is not just sameness. It's not conformity. It is a gift of diversity. It is unity in diversity, because what you'll see in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they start praying in tongues, the multiplicity of tongues isn't done away with. It isn't done away with. It just no longer presents separation. Unlike what happened in, I think it's Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. It says the way that those people got together, the nations, they had one language, one tongue, human unity. God's unity is different. It's unity in diversity. We don't have to be the same. Come on. God created you like He created you for a very specific purpose. So what this tells us is that we are meant to lean into our individual gifts, the way we speak, where we come from, the way we raised. Hey, the color of my skin. Come on. Those are no longer reasons to be separated. Come on. Unity, biblical unity is, it transcends that. It flies in the face of what happened at Babel. Psalm 103 verse 1 to 3 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sisters to dwell together in unity. Here's what it says. It's like the precious oil. It's like the anointing. It's like the Holy Spirit upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. God appoints. He appoints us into community, into common unity. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians 4 verse 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here's my last point. In verse 11 of Exodus 31, it says, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. I want to finish with God commands. He commands. God calls, He fills, He appoints for purpose, He appoints for mission. He calls, fills, appoints us for them, for those that aren't here today, for those that are far from Him. That passage in Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a scene, right? What a scene. But I think oftentimes we stop short of mission and purpose. What do I mean? Well, Jesus in Luke 24, verse 44 to 49, it's up on the screen. He tells the disciples, he says, thus it is written, I'm not reading the whole passage. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Watch what Jesus says. He says, they should preach the gospel to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now you're dealing with 12 disciples, right? Ragtag bunch of guys. I mean, like, why would you even say to something like that? And I want us to just for a moment, just consider. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we look at the characters, what we do is we put them on a pedestal like they're superhuman. Like they have special abilities. That's why God's using them. Let me tell you, they were just like us. When we put characters like that on a pedestal, we deny ourselves the powerful truth of what the Bible is trying to teach us, that God is able to work through ordinary men and women and accomplish His purpose in the earth, right? And so right now, so these were 12 ordinary folk, ordinary guys, ragtag guys. They only know Galilee and they only know Jerusalem and they know the Jordan. And here Jesus tells them, you're going to have to go and preach the gospel to all nations. Wow. Mind shift. Right? What do you say to something like that? I don't know what I would have said. I would have said, well, Jesus, we need a social media campaign, Jesus. Yeah, you know what? I think we need to get Justin Bieber back in the fold. Kanye West been straying. Let's get him back. They can be the ambassadors of our all nations campaign, Jesus. Hey, we're gonna have to travel. So I'm thinking our economy's not gonna cut it. Not even premium economy. How about we get private jets, Jesus? We can get to every city in the world real quick, just like that. To organize worship nights in the biggest stadiums in every major city in the world. Hey, we got to get Bethel Shakers. We got to get Maverick City, Brandon Lake, Torren Wells, Hillsong. Yeah, they got to be. We got to book them. Get them ready. Because this isn't a small thing. It's all nations. And we got to have merch. Like, let's not forget the merch, Jesus. All nations, let's go. All right? You're gonna get the merch, Jesus. Come on, let's go. What does Jesus say? Nothing wrong with that. I love your excitement. I love your initiative. But I could sit down in a room and wait. I mean, Jesus, what a mood killer. Like I saw myself, my name in light somewhere, right? So I could sit in a room and wait. He says in Luke 24, verse 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He says, but tarry. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, I want you to imagine being in this room. It would have been a room almost like this. Gathered in a room, everybody sitting, waiting. Worship moment this morning. And we're all seated, waiting. Next minute, there's a wind blowing. So now I want you to think about this. This would have been exactly what it would have probably felt like. Not with all the modern architecture, but certainly people gathered together. Walls, doors, there's a wind blowing. And this ain't no breeze. It says it's a mighty rushing wind. It's the wind that leaves. Pastor Sonia, your hairdo is messed up. I'm just saying, right? This is a mighty rushing wind. This is the wind that don't care for your reputation. It doesn't care for your status. It doesn't care for your position. It blows. It makes a mess. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in that room, I would be thinking, what in the... Did somebody leave the door open? The windows open? Right? And while I'm thinking that, while I'm trying to process what's happening, I loop over to Pastor Dave. I think, man, his head's on fire. And here's what I'm saying. Oftentimes you read this and we think it's normal. There was nothing normal about what happened here. Yes. Nothing. So I see tongues of fire on this guy's head and I'm thinking, what? Maybe my eyesight's going. Right? And as I'm about to let him know I speak and I'm about to tell him, Dave, your head's burning. And as I do, what comes out is fluent Italian. I've never spoken Italian in my life. He responds back in Russian. Pastor Sonia Swahili. Hey, can you imagine being in this room? I know that Numa is revival nights. And it's amazing, but this will put revival nights to shame. What happened here is revival nights on steroids. Right? Here's the point I'm making. Oftentimes when we find ourselves in a place like this, what we want to do is we want to say, let's just stay here. Let's just go get a tent. Let's just build a monument. Let's just stay here. It's so amazing. Oh, Jesus, we love you.
And there's nothing wrong with being transformed and being empowered. But understand, God commands. What happened in the upper room was meant for, watch what it says. Acts 2 verse 5 to 6, it says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from what? From every nation. All nations under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. God's purpose was never for the disciples and those that were in the room to encounter him and stay there. It was always that revival happened so that they can go out the door and for Peter to preach a gospel so that three people can be saved. So God calls, he fills, he appoints. But can I encourage you? He commands. I love evangelism empowerment. Amen to that. Let that always be our focus. God empowers us so that we can walk down the street, and I'm trusting the day will come when we walk down the street and my shadow falls on someone and they are healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody that don't know God. See, the anointing and the outpouring of the Spirit of God is not just for us, it's for them. I think we can have a word of knowledge while speaking to somebody that is not weird. But that'll make him go, man, how do you know what you know? Who have you spoken to? Taking the anointing with us and impacting the world for Jesus. And the way that God does that is when we come together in community. The reason why it happened was because they were together in one accord, in one place. I want to encourage you, lean into this congregation. Lean into Melbourne West. Get involved. Serve. As the band comes up, I just want to pray for you this morning. And oftentimes when things happen, like what has happened in the life of Neuma over recent months. Oftentimes that sense of community, sometimes it's not lost. But we have questions maybe. In our hearts we begin to question. And I truly sense in my heart that God wants to take whatever, you know, community there is, and I think there's amazing community here. God wants to take that to the next level. Because that is where his blessing, that is where his anointing, that is where his favor rests. So I'm just going to pray this morning for unity, for God to bring us together again. Not only as Neuma, but certainly as a church within our movement in the city, West South. Amen. Father, we thank you. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you this morning, God, that it's not by might, nor is it by power, God, but it is by your Spirit. Our desire, God, is to see your kingdom established in the earth. And I pray, God, you'd mobilize us. You'd bring us together around your purpose. You'd bring us together as your people, Father. As the body that we are in Jesus' name, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd arrest every person here this morning. And I pray, God, for a fresh touch, a fresh revelation of your purpose and your plan for them in this congregation, in this body, in the name of Jesus. I pray for a rising up, God, of sons and daughters into all that you've called them to be in Jesus' name. And so, thank you that you are doing a new thing. That you are doing a new thing. This morning, God, you are doing a new thing, Lord. This morning, God, we choose to not remember the former things because you are doing a new thing. I pray, God, that new thing will spring forth in the hearts of every person here this morning in Jesus' name. I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I pray, set people free, God. Would you set people free, God? God, we can't change hearts. We can't change people, God, but you can. And so I pray you would come, God, and just touch every heart this morning. Maybe hearts that have maybe become a little bit hard, Lord, that you soften it and make it hearts of flesh again. Hearts pliable to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.